King James Version says, "Sing, O barren, thou that dost not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thine cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Sing, O barren, that thou dost not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. I must give credit where honoring where credit and honor is due. Thank first and foremost Elder Lakin for presenting this text to me as I was in meditation about how to introduce what we're going to talk about. And I want to thank God for her for so many things. For laying hands just a few minutes ago. Go wash your hands now, but thank God for your laying hands. Maybe you just took away this fever. Your prayers and your strength. Isaiah says, enlarge the place of thy tent. And that's what I want to talk about this Sunday morning, about enlarging the tent. That's our subject this Sunday morning, enlarging or expanding, rather, the tent. My brothers and my sisters, there's some things in life you have to speak into existence. I don't know where you are in your growth, where you are on your Christian journey. I know that some of you not only still on milk, but some of y'all still on powdered milk. You ain't ready to eat the meat of all the gospel. But there's some of us who are now matured enough in the faith to understand that there's some things you can speak into existence, and it will come to pass. When my great-grandfather, I.S. Levy, died in 1968, he left our funeral home in a family trust, which means all three children and all nine grandchildren were owners of the business. The business was not doing well. I started working there in 15 and noticed that the history and the tradition and the temple was no longer a temple, and the services that we were providing were to our families were not at the level and at the scale and not at the epitome of excellence that my great-grandfather started. And I told my dad on October 13th, 1993, that we needed to buy the funeral home and run Levy's funeral home. And my dad purchased the funeral home on July 15th, 1995. Some things in life you have to speak into existence. When Darren Horn was fired in March of 1992, and then Frank Martin was hired to be our assistant basketball, knew I'd be our new head basketball coach. At his press conference, when he was named the head basketball coach at the University of South Carolina, after the press conference, I was the second person in line. Mark, I went up to him and I said, "Hi, I'm Chris Levy. I am the team chaplain." Ask him, did he need one?
I didn't ask him, did he want one?
All right.
I didn't ask him, could I still be one? Yeah. I went up to him, Veronica, and said, I am that I am.
Yeah.
And now I got my own office.
Oh, yeah.
4 years ago, one Erica Lakin came up to me and says, I'm going to be your minister of music. And I said, who you going to replace? She said, I'm not going to replace nobody. You just going to add me on.
And since she's been in the choir, it's doubled. By addition, there's some things in life you got to just speak into existence. 2 years ago, Ron went to say, and said, we're going to want to have our own business. And a lot of y'all got on Ashley Kingston right now because there's something you just got to speak into existence. 14 years ago, I took a young girl on a cruise and took her to the back of the boat. I gave her two choices. You take this ring or you're going over. And we've been together ever since, amen. Something you just got to speak into existence, amen. If you can have that, the doctor tell you cancer, you tell them,
no, I ain't got it. You might still have it, but you don't ever have to believe what the report of the doctor. Just repeat, believe the report of the Lord. If they say that your child can't read, don't believe that. Just know that your child will read, that they might learn differently than somebody else. If they've got behavior problem, no, they just behave differently. And we got to work this thing out. Some things you just got to speak and believe that God will make a way out of. No way. And don't be worried about people who don't believe, who don't have faith, who think you crazy, who think, because God wants to see where your faith is. God wants to see where your maturity is. God wants to see where your belief pattern is. And if you believe in him, he will make everything else work out and watch your enemies celebrate what they thought was impossible. Well, here in chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah speaks something into existence. Isaiah is more than just one of the prophets. He is the major prophet of the major prophets. Isaiah is the prophet that some would say is the gospel of the Old Testament. For it's Isaiah who paints the futuristic picture of our Jesus. It's Isaiah that talks about how he will be and what he will look like and where he will come from. And that he will be a root that will come out of dry ground. And I didn't understand that until this last week, why that was so very important, because there's no way for a root to come out of dry ground, because a root has to have water. And one of the things that has to happen is that you've got to have water to break the shell around the seed so that the seedling is able to expand and grow. But the shell cannot be broken unless there's water around that shell to break that shell so that the water will allow that seedling to grow. In other words, God again will make possible the impossible. And that Messiah would come from a place where we wouldn't think he would come from. That no one thought that the Messiah would come from the back streets of Bethlehem out of a dirty barn. And just like as a root has to come out of dirt, so as Jesus had to come out of dirt so that he might clean up our dirty lives.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's he that is writing in the period of the Deutero-Isaiah times. He is a prophet of the kingdom of Judah. But he is talking mostly, Sister Dunbar, about the 10 tribes are in the northern kingdom of Israel. And it's very interesting that Jerusalem is in Judea, in Judah, in the southern kingdom of Judah. And it is the city of God, but it's only two of the tribes. The 10 other tribes are in northern Israel. And they, during this time, had been exiled in Assyria. And Isaiah's writing to Hezekiah, and he's talking to Hezekiah, and he's saying, Hezekiah, we got to be careful. And we've seen what has happened to our brothers and our sisters in the northern kingdom. And I'm telling you that the reason why they have been trampled, the reason why they have been exiled, is because of their disobedience. And if we don't get it right with God, the same thing is going to happen to us. As a matter of fact, I see it on the way that there's going to be also an exile period of our people. But don't you worry about it. Because God is going to give us a Messiah. And God is going to give us a Savior. And we're not sure right now whether he was talking about Cyrus the king that would free the people, or is he looking futuristic towards Jesus. But one thing we do know, that his prophecy is correct, because the people didn't have to stay in exile forever. And one day they did return to Israel. One day, rather, did return to Jerusalem. They did return to their homeland. And he's telling them, even before they were returning, expand the tent. They had not yet been trampled. The temple had not even yet been erected. The temple had not yet been destroyed. The temple had not yet been rebuilt. The temple had not yet been brought back to the place of Zion. And he's telling him, Ron, even before all this happens, go ahead and expand your minds and your heart and your soul so you will be prepared for when that time comes. Chapters 34 through 35 describe how the exile would return to Israel. And then after telling the people that Jerusalem and the people would be restored, he raises the query in 53, whose report will you believe? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Whose report will you believe? For those who tell you that, you know, we are a chosen people, we are God's people, we are not the chosen one, his crazy self. Yeah, you chosen to get out of our house. That's what you've been chosen to do. You know, those who exalt themselves will be abased. Some of y'all already know what I'm talking about because y'all don't watch CNN. You got to watch CNN every day. Those who exalt themselves will be abased. He says, but get ready, because Messiah is on the way. And then he goes and talks about this symbolism of a barren woman. Like Hannah, this symbolism of a barren woman who has not been able to produce a child. In thinking and acknowledging the fact that one of the purposes of womanhood is reproduction and the bearing of children. But it is an honor. And then some that will remain barren. But even if you remain barren and won't ever be blessed with a child physically, I promise you in Jesus' name, all of us who got children, we'll give you ours. By the time we get back, you'll send them back. But he's talking about this symbolism of people who are bearing nothing. Not bearing just in your womb. Not bearing just because you can't have a child. But people who are fruitless. Because there are a whole lot of people in here. I'm sorry to let you in on a little secret. You're spiritually fruitless. How many people have you even invited to your church? Fruitless. What ministry are you a part of? Fruitless. How many people have you helped bring to Jesus and help their lives? Fruitless. How many of you volunteer in children's church? Volunteer the back to school back? Volunteer for trunk or treat? Volunteer for when we feed the football teams? How many of you volunteer when we be packing these backpacks? Fruitless. And just because you give your little tithes and your little offerings, that ain't helping. Now, don't stop. But God needs your hand and your heart as much as he needs your wallet. Because we can't do nothing with what we buy unless your hands are there to help us sell. And he's saying we've got a nation full of fruitless people. But before we can grow, we've got to expand the tent. We've got to grow the hearts and the minds of the people to be prepared for what God is about to do. And he says that one of the things that we've got to also be prepared to do is increase and enlarge the tent for the Gentiles. Listen to this. In Isaiah Javis, in Isaiah, Isaiah is the first Paul. Isaiah says we've got to open up our hearts and our minds to allow the Gentiles, who are pagan, according to them, who know not God, to allow them to know God for themselves. And that this Messiah that is going to come is going to enlarge and increase the tent so that all, somebody say all. Because the Jews thought that they were the only ones who could love God and could have God and to be blessed by God and were the chosen of God. If anybody is the chosen of God, it's Big Mama's people who've been the chosen of God. All the hell we done caught and been through. And he says, we've got to increase our hearts and our minds to make sure that the tent is large enough for everybody. And there's a problem with a whole lot of us. We only want people in the tent to look like us. We act like us. We got the same zip code as us. Who drive the same cars as us. But this ain't no social club. And definitely ain't the country club. This is God's house. And all of God's children, no matter where they come from, no matter their color, no creed, even no matter their sexual orientation, all should be welcome up in God's house. You can't clean fish until you catch them. You can't. But the problem is all y'all want to go to Captain D's. You don't want to do no fishing. Ain't nobody want to get no rod and no reel out and put a worm on and sit down there for hours drinking your drink of choice. And then got to scale that fish and fillet that fish and batter that fish and fillet that fish and cook that fish. No, you just won't go through the drive-thru. And now you're mad at Popeyes. But my brothers and my sisters, I'm here to declare unto you that it's time that we expand the tent. It is time that we follow the word of God and that we expand the tent. Beginning January 5th, 2020, we are going to two services. Sunday school, put it up. We'll begin at 8 o'clock. Y'all be up anyhow. You done had to already use the restroom at 6. Sunday school will be from 8 to 8:45. Our first service will be just like our normal service, our traditional service has always been, from 9 to 10:30. How many of you enjoyed August? How many of you enjoyed that hour of power? Well, the hour of power will become a permanent feature of our services here at the Brooklyn Church. The second service will be that hour of power from 11 to 12 noon. So you will have the choice as we expand the tent. If you want to come, and we won't be using the titles, but the 9 o'clock service will stay the same as what we do here every day. It will stay more traditional. If you want to dress down, if you want to just be here for an hour, for that hour of power, we have that second service here for you. Our goal is to serve this present age, our calling to fulfill. We want the tent to be large enough for everyone to enjoy and come to Jesus. I understand that it is going to be a big adjustment. I understand that some people are going to have to adjust. That's when nobody didn't really clap at first because they're like, oh, wait, wait a minute. I mean, I got to get up an hour early. I get to sleep in an hour later. There will be something for everyone. But you know something? The main attraction will still be Jesus. The main attraction will still be Jesus. Why are you doing this, Pastor? I'll give you the answer. Because God said so. Because God said so. I'm not being arrogant about it. I'm not being egotistical about it. I'm not being conceited about it. I've been sitting on this egg for 3 years, knowing that one day we were going to have to expand the tent. And I sat on that egg, and I really didn't want that egg to ever crack. With all my weight, that egg was going to have to crack at some point in time. And then one day in a meeting, Andre Lewis knew that I was sitting on the egg and told me what was inside of the egg without me and him ever having a conversation. I shared this vision with Ron. I shared this vision with Erica. And I continued to sit on the egg. And 6 months ago, Erica said, when are we going to two services? And I replied to her in text form, 6 reasons why we weren't going to do it. And they all began with I. I am too busy. I have 3 jobs. 2 children and 1 wife. I am not ready. I've got some things to get in order at the funeral home. She replied back, do you realize you just said 6 eyes? The number 6 is the number of the devil. And I is our ego. And so I had to put the devil's ego aside and follow what has thus said the Lord. We're going to need you. Your spirit of adjustment. But we're also going to need your spirit of volunteerism. Expanding to 2 services, and that's why we're not waiting to December, Doc, to tell you about it. We're telling you now to get your hearts, your minds ready for what God is about to do. We're going to need more assistance. We still will have children's church at both services. Which means that we will need more volunteers down at the Children's Church. Men's Fellowship, get ready, get ready, get ready. We got to flip this parking lot in 30 minutes. So we're going to need men out in the parking lot helping us. Amen? We're going to need you because God has a work for us to do as we increase the kingdom for his sake. Not for the name of Brooklyn, but for his sake. And for his desires in our life. And finally, where God gives a vision, he will make provision. And I want to thank our deacons. I want to thank our ministry team and our leaders. I want to thank all of you who've been part of this process. Unless you have been fooling me and lying, we have all been on one accord. Everyone has not been able to see A through Z, which is fine. People have had questions, and that is fine. But there's a difference when someone asks a question and when someone is questioning you. And I've never felt through this process that anyone was questioning the vision of God. You can ask questions because some people need to see A through Z. But I want to also let you know that Abraham would tell you sometimes you just can't see all the way what God is about to do. Sometimes you just got to walk in faith and trust that where God has told you to go, he will lead you and direct you. And so I pray that you walk with us. Either you're going to wake up an hour early or you're going to sleep an hour later. But one way or another, the name of the Lord will be praised. Give God praise today for what he's about to do. Amen. Stand on your feet. Thank you. There might be one today.